On this morning, I am here after a very forgettable week. Other than the fact Monday started off good, and then Monday the fever hit and it didn't break till Thursday, and it kind of hit our whole household. So I don't think I'm in any danger of spreading it to anybody, but you may just want to keep your distance just in case, so I can yell unclean, unclean after church if you need reminded. So in light of all of that, today is not going to be a conventional message. I was trying to think, in seminary they probably wouldn't have given a description of the type of message that you're going to hear today. It's not like topical, it's not like, it's not a expository type message. It's going to be different today. I'll at least grant you that. But before we get into that, I would just like to all rise. I don't have my computer here with me today, but I would like us to all just stand up and let's pray. Let's continue to pray for the work in Lao. My brother-in-law, he just recently tore his ACL for the third time, and he's got to go back to a different country to have a surgery, and it's probably going to take two surgeries, and he's really discouraged about that because it's just going to delay the progress that they were making. But in the midst of all of that, they are making some really good connections with the local officials in the area. So let's pray that God would continue to be with them in the translation work, that they will one day be able to hold that Bible that's in their language. And then let's pray for Israel. Let's pray for our nation. Let's do that right now out loud together. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here this morning. God, we thank you that we can depend on you. All God's people said, amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, so we've been kind of unpacking this, the fruit of the spirits here, and I'm already just feeling, man, talking is just still a little bit difficult. It's hard, so you can pray for me. And maybe it's just because I'm nervous, too, about what's coming up as well. I don't know. Either one, we'll see what we'll contribute to. But we're going through the fruit of the spirits. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and we're now ready for faithfulness. And faithfulness is probably one of the ones that has impacted my prayer life for the longest. It's something that has kind of, I don't remember when it has started, but it's just something that I often incorporate into my prayers, is just a gratitude and thankfulness for his faithfulness. Because I think we're going to realize just how important faithfulness is here in a second. But before we kind of get there, I just want us to realize a little bit how much of a mess we are, and that we're not really great reflections of faithfulness at times and stuff like that. So I'm going to go and take us in to Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading from verse 1 here. Then what advantage has the Jew? or what is the value of circumcision? Much in every way, to begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithfulness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true enough. Be true, though everyone who were a liar, as it were written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. Okay, all right, so I'm going to illustrate this a little bit, and we're going to have a little impromptu play here. And so I'd first like to call up my buddy Jensen here. Just come on up here. Don't worry, it's not too hard. I'll tell you exactly everything you need to do. So I'm just gonna have you stand over here somewhere. Just. Oh, really? Oh, well, God bless you. Okay. All right. Man, you are a servant of the church. Okay. So just maybe stand just a little bit further that way. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. Okay. I'll be right back. Dum 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 dum. It's good to be back. Ooh, my goodness. I am your director and narrator today of this little illustration. Who are you? I did not authorize you to talk. That must be a little bit awkward for you to just like be standing up here while, you know, the preacher was preaching. But let me see if I can find, yeah, that's right, I asked you to come up here. My notes say it right here. Okay, that's great. Jensen, you can just stand there. Looks like I need, oh, you know what, Jensen? Are you a Buckeye fan? Yeah, okay, great. You know what, actually, I knew that. That's why, you know, I kind of picked you, because you're a Buckeye fan. That's actually really love that about you. So I'm going to give you a special job. I'm going to entrust with you the oracles of Mount Zion. Ooh, the oracles are, yep, they're here, and they're full. Here we go. This is your job, is to watch over the oracles of Mount Zion. The only thing is you need to set them over there and then stand back here. Like, I would rather you not touch them. Okay, thank you. Yeah, do that now, please. That's what this says right here. Okay, thank you. Okay, all right. But, like, doesn't it feel good to just have this responsibility? I didn't authorize you to say anything. Okay. So let's, moving on here, I got to stay organized, and that's why I have all these notes. They really help me stay organized here. You're kind of like a Jew, because you're great. I really appreciate you. But I'm really needing a Greek. Let's see here, a Greek. Who could be a good Greek for me? Oh, Johnny. I think he'd make a great Greek. Yeah, because I think he'd make a great Greek. You know, why don't you come on up. Yeah. You know what? You got to watch him. If you have a pigskin anywhere, he might, like, steal it from you and shove it down your throat. Okay. Stand over here, Greek. Okay. All right. Yeah, you're a good Greek. You'll make a fine Greek. Yep. Just perfect. We're on schedule, guys. This is great. This is wonderful. Oh, yeah. So what else do we need here? I need a good judge. Judge. A judge. Where could we get a judge out here? Laverne, is that you in the flesh? This is your lucky day. Oh my goodness, I can't believe this. I wasn't sure if you were going to be here or not, but you know, here you are. Praise the Lord. Well, all you got to do is just stand up and follow me, and you're going to be a good judge. How did you get this job? You have any idea? I didn't really authorize you to answer. You can stand up here. Yeah. I was just asking questions, but see, when you guys say stuff, it really throws the script off. So just, you can stand here behind this, you know, thing, pulpit here, and kind of try to look like a judge, which I think you're kind of natural. It's like, it's almost like you've been here before. Okay. All right. Okay. So this works out pretty good. We got a Greek here, and we got a Jew, and we got a pretty good judge. Okay. All right. So let's see here. What are we going to do next? Okay. Oh, yeah. Right here it says what I'm supposed to do. So, Jew, you know what? At any moment here soon, I'm going to actually, it's a little hard because I can't authorize him to steal candy from the basket. But I'm going to have to somehow tell him that he's supposed to, like, steal it, because if I authorize him, then it wouldn't be stealing. But, so I have to just, you know, he's got to somehow, like, steal, you know, a piece of candy. No, you just stay right here. I did not authorize you to do anything yet, because if you look right here, you're just supposed to stand here. The Greeks, that's what they do, right? They steal. Just, I'll tell you if you can shake your head, okay? The Greeks, that's what they do. They just steal stuff, man. I wouldn't expect anything less, you know? All right, okay? I had wanted you just to do one, but. But a little impromptu, I guess, is cool for the sake of the show. But one thing that, you know, I really wanted you to notice, because this was really important in the show notes, is that as we were noticing how bad this action was over here, and obviously our dude over here did nothing about it, did you just notice how good the judge was? Did you just see how good he was? Let's just take a good look, okay? So, yeah, like, he's been really good. Obviously, it's not sinking in. We need to notice how good the judge is right now. So, I'm going to have to authorize you to go, like, not authorize, but you're going to now have to steal candy from, like, your own project. Like, yeah, just go, you know, like, yeah. Oh, my goodness, guys, he's stealing some candy. But did you guys notice in that, now, like, the judge, he didn't steal any candy. He's good. He's really good. We got a good judge, guys. Man, couldn't have written this better myself. Okay, all right. So the candy and stuff. So, okay, now let's go on to the scene two. The judge has to say something to me. Okay, all right. Oh, no way. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is getting serious, okay? I'll make sure to tell them. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, well, I'm sorry, guys, for that little awkward exchange there, because I would have had to authorize him to tell me the things to say, which would have wasted time, because I knew what he was going to say, because, you know, I was going to tell him to say that. So I just rather just have him, you know, I'm going to say what he's going to say. And what he was going to say is that come, guys, Greeks and Jews, come over here. Come over here. Look, this is what the judge said. He said, as long as there's no more missing candy, you guys get vacation for the rest of your life. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? What's that in your hand? Candy. Oh, well, I guess no vacation for you. And what's that in your hand? I guess no more candy for you either. No, like, No candy. Okay. Well, and so no more vacation. So because the judge, he was just kind of saying, like, you know, if there was no missing candy here, and so, like, I don't know why you guys stole it from this basket, because if you wouldn't have, you would actually just be on paid vacation for the rest of your life. But, you know, I guess not anymore. So you guys, I guess, have been unfaithful. All right, thank you. Give our round of applause here. Thank you, Laverne. You may be seated. All right, and I just wanted to, I should have said this before, this little skit was no way in any shape or form to make light of the gospel or light of scripture or anything, but maybe we'll get a chance to now, through those eyes of understanding and seeing a little bit there, reading this passage again and kind of seeing what it's saying here. So it says, then what advantage has a Jew? Or what value is circumcision? So it's like, you know, kind of we're all the same, but there's something that God chose the Jewish people for. And so what advantage is that? And you know what it really comes down to? In much and every way, to begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God, which was the divine revealed message that God was given. God chose the Jewish people out of all the people groups that were available in the world. He said, I'm going to choose you to carry the divine message. That's who you are. That's what you're going to represent. You know, outside of that, there's really not going to be much different between, you know, you and the Greek and all these other people out there. But I have chosen you for a purpose. And, you know, God really does choose everyone for a purpose. He has something that he has placed you here on earth for. But in this context, he had chosen the Jews and entrusted them the oracles of God. And then, but, you know, what if some were found unfaithful? Like, some being untrue or disobedient to the word. You know, you put somebody in charge of the candy, and yet, there they go, stealing candy. What if people are still found to be unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true through everyone, even though everyone were a liar. And then on in verse 5, but if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? So basically what it's saying is that I think there was a way of thinking that people were thinking that, oh, there's sin in the world, there's these issues, there's these problems, and so if we kind of point them out, if we highlight them, then that's just going to contrast and show how good God is. But, you know, it's kind of silly when you start to think about it. It's kind of like if you want to go out, you know, how many things are out there that if it would already be good, then doing the good would be kind of pointless or almost wasteful. Like if your baby has a mess and his diaper kind of stinks, you go change that diaper, right? You're doing something good, correct? But if the baby doesn't have a mess and the diaper is perfectly clean and you say, I'm going to go do something good and I'm going to go change this baby's diaper, And you change that diaper and say, now look at me, I did something really good. Well, actually, you did something very wasteful. We all know, we're kind of acquainted with how expensive those Pampers are right now, most of us. I like to utilize the whole 15 pounds before I decide to change. JK. There's a lot of things that you can't just say, oh, you know what? Oh, I want to go help my neighbor clean up his yard. So through the night, I'm going to go and cut down all his trees, make his yard look like a disaster, so that in the morning, I can knock on his door and say, hey, neighbor, could I help you clean up your yard? No, you can't, you know, doing wrong things to make a good thing, or even doing a good thing when you can't do a good thing. It just gets so confusing and so it leads us on a path that I think they were struggling with in this passage, because there was a part of them that were like, well, the more that we see the unrighteousness and the filthiness of the Greeks, then the more righteous we're going to look, or the more righteous God is going to look. And then there's just kind of this human way of speaking here in verse 6. And they say, I'll go back up a little bit, that God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us. I speak in a human way, by no means, for then how can God judge the world? And I think it's just reminding us again that whether we have been faithful or unfaithful in the responsibilities that God has given us, he's still going to be a faithful judge. He is still going to bestow, he still has some, like, it's not unrighteous of him to bring affliction, to inflict wrath on us. It's not, because just think about, as you're parenting a child and your child goes and bites another child, you know, you're just like, hey, high five, good job, or you know what, yeah, you know, that's okay. No, that child needs to have some deep understanding of the hurt and the pain that he brought to that other person, and often you have to do that in some way of showing that child through discipline how that hurt, how that needs to change. And so it is not out of God's place to bring his wrath upon us, because he is the judge of the world. But if through my lie God's truth abounds to his glory, why am I still being condemned as a sinner? And why not do evil that good may come? As some people slanderously charge us with saying, their condemnation is just. And I'm not going to get too deep into the weeds here, but the main reason I wanted to point this out, and just the whole skit and everything as first part of this message, was just to, again, show that we are, as people, have no ability within ourselves to be faithful. Like, we cannot muster up that faithfulness. So let's just remember that. And now let's go on to look at who is the teacher of faithfulness. And again, this is a little bit unconventional here. But one of the things that, I'm not a great journaler. I think I started this journal in 2015, so that's like 10 years. It's very thin, and it's still not full. So I am not saying this to like, woo-hoo, I've got this all figured out. But I'm actually going to read to you some sections out of this. It's not a diary, don't have to worry about that. But it's more of a remembrance journal. It's you know, there's so many times and life moves by so quickly and so fast that sometimes when we are in our deepest struggle right now, the things that will carry us through is remembering what God did 6 years ago. If we don't remember that, then we're going to be like tossed to and fro from here now. So let me just kind of bring this into perspective to kind of hopefully start now pointing us to the faithfulness of who God is. So this was something that I penned June 18 in 2015. This would have been the year before we would have moved here, because we moved here the end of 16. God, I don't know how or what to make of Sherry's sickness. It's something she had been dealing with for probably about 4 years up to this point already in 2015, was this sickness. I know you are kind and loving Father. I need you to be close to us through this time. There is so much I don't understand, so much I want to know. God, I pray that you will bring me into your love so that I may understand. I just wonder if Jesus was walking here on earth and I would ask him to heal Sherry, what would he say to me? Would he question my faith? Would he heal her because of my faith? Would he turn away and not listen? This is honestly how it feels, that I've asked again and again and again for the Father to heal Sherry, and there is nothing. And this is just a reminder that, like, Sherry used to be flat in bed, sick all day long, particularly in her days in Asia. Like, she didn't get out and do much. She was pretty much bedridden. It's almost like I picture that Jesus is hearing but doesn't do anything and turns away. God, you are going to have to show me that you are faithful to your word. And I have nothing much more to say right now. God, work in my heart and show me life. Show me that your word still stands through the ages. So that was something in 2015 that I penned. And then, you know, being the consistent penner that I am, take you to something, my one entry for 2021. I put in one, yay. I think I was going through nursing school this year, or just getting out. No, actually, I was working at the hospital towards the end, and I'll explain just a little bit. So we were living here now, not a whole lot improvement to Sherry's health. It's 2021, January. In driving an hour and a half today, I asked if God would show himself to me. Not that I need a sign, kind of interesting that we were talking about the signs today in Sunday school. Not that I need a sign or that I need proof, but just I want to hear from him again. I went on driving and praying. I gave many hopes and plans to the Lord and list out a bunch of the hopes and plans that I'll skip over for now. But most of all, I just want to be renewed by him, as I was about 10 miles left in my drive. I was listening to this song, and God began to show me all the wonderful things that have happened in my life, from times when I was a little boy to things that have happened now. So many rich and amazing things he has allowed me to be part of. The mind picture started to change, and it was a little glimpse into the future, and God showing me that life will be just as rich and as amazing even when in hard things. Then it switched to being in heaven. And Sherry was at my side, and we watched our children come running to us. It was so beautiful, and I started to cry. I was looking around for other people that had come with me to heaven, but I couldn't see them. I could only see my children. I knew that others were there, but I knew that there was nothing more important than seeing my family there. The amount of joy that I felt by seeing Nazare and Emmett there was so much more joy than my heart had ever felt, and I knew that there was nothing more important than making sure that I led my family to the kingdom. And as I led my family, others will also come. But I can't lose sight of what God has called me to do. It is so hard to explain everything I felt, but I now know that in the last few miles of riding the car, God answered my prayer to hear from him, and I can lean on him to carry me through the future. I can lean on him to carry me through the future, not knowing that in just a couple days after this, I would lose my job at the hospital. Not knowing that after a couple days of losing my job at the hospital, because I continued to fail my exams, that we decided to go to Florida for treatment. And not knowing that on our way to Florida for treatment, the church had raised $20,000 for us before we even got there, which then over the course of the month and a half or 2 months that we were there, covered pretty much to the exact amount of what we actually needed, when we thought at first it was like only needed $10,000. But when I penned this in 2021, I didn't know that I would still be looking for an answer from 2015. Remember the words that I said in 2015. God, work in my heart and show me life. Show me that your word will still stand through the ages. Show me that you are faithful through your word. I have nothing much more to say right now. It took 6 years to see any type of answer to what had been laid on my heart for so long, for healing, for Sherry. And not knowing that the loss of my job was part of that. Knowing that now we're free to go to Florida. And now, you know, that it has been life-changing for her. Her pain is not nearly as severe. She doesn't crash when she's with other people. It's so different now. But how sometimes in life we need to remember, because faithfulness is a long-term deal. You know, when you think of it in the context of a marriage, you may think, you know what, I trust my spouse because I know that he or she really loves me. But you know what, love isn't a really good anchor for trust. I really trust my spouse because I know, you know, they're really kind or they're really good to me. They're really gentle to me. But those are still not the anchors. If you want to know anything about trust in your relationship, it's knowing that your spouse, your husband or wife, has been faithful to you. If you know that they have been faithful to you, then you know that that trust can be maintained, that can be real and it can be felt. And faithfulness stands the test of time. It has to. You can't decide to be married one day and then say, oh, the next day, you know what, I'm just going to take a day off from being married. No, faithfulness has to be throughout of a marriage, has to be throughout the test of time. And in the same way, God shows us his faithfulness throughout the ages. And just in this small little glimpse in my life through our journey with Sherry's health, you look back and you know what? Just a little side note, like I am really horrible and my wife would love to see if I do better at journaling, but it is so encouraging. If you can go back and look at something that you've scratched down about something that you are dealing with, even if it's a hard thing, you can go back and say, wow, God actually brought me out of that. Or if it's an answered prayer, jot it down, because then you can go back and say, oh yes, I remember, this is a stake that I'm driving in the ground. My faith will not be wavered because I know that on this day, God was here and God was working. So let's fast forward again to just 1 year ago. I picked up the pen on January 2nd of 2024. It's a new year. As I look into this year, Psalms 115, verse 1, has been what I've been thinking about. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. I feel those words ringing through me. Not to us, not to us, not to us. I wonder how much we go through life thinking, to us. Is it possible that we know all the right ways to act and know the right words to say, but still live for our own glory? Can I live to him, or do I keep living to me? We give him glory because his steadfast love and faithfulness. I'm not sure that we fully know or understand his love. Is this not what separates him from all other gods? Was not the work of the devil the work of hate and unfaithfulness? Why is it so hard to wrap our minds around the love of God? How can I understand his faithfulness? Not to us. The Bible says, not to us. So if there is anything that I wish to remember this year, not to us. Look for the ways to bring glory to the Father. And I think in starting to try to wrap this up all together, and one of the reasons that I chose to share all of this is just I think it can be easy to, as a church or as an individual, to start kind of thinking in terms of it's about us. Church is about the people. We go to church because of the people or because of the relationships or because of all of these things. And all of a sudden, God is lost in the picture. It's like, aren't we going to church because God is there? Like, just think about that. Why did you come through these doors this morning? Was it because you were hoping to see one of your neighbors? Was it because you were hoping that you could sing some good songs? Or were you hoping to meet God? And I think this is what drives church splits. This is what caused people to be driven away, is because we get all caught up in the messiness of relationships and people and all this and that and this and that. And all of a sudden we forget, wait, like, as much as I love all of you as part of this church, the reason that I show up is because I believe that together we are part of a body that can bring the presence of God. And wherever the presence of God is, that's where I want to be. So as we have learned, our faithfulness, it's a mess. We can't, it's like dancing with two left feet. We don't do faithfulness very well. We need to depend on God for faithfulness. We are unfaithful time and time again, but He remains faithful. And this is why faithfulness is listed in the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit, something that comes from Him, it can't come from yourself. So if you are going to walk in faithfulness today, tomorrow, the next day, it's because He lives inside of you. It's because of Christ. It's nothing that you have done. It's not who you are, Greek, Jew, Buckeye, or IU. It's His fruit working through you. So I hope that in a small way, this can be an encouragement. I hope it wasn't too confusing. And I hope it just helps us to reflect and think this year about His faithfulness in our lives, and that we can pray and ask God that He will allow us to be a reflection of that faithfulness and give us that fruit in our lives. Father God, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for this message this morning. God, we thank You so much for Your faithfulness. God, we thank You that You have been faithful for thousands of years and will still remain that faithful Father. God, we thank You that as time speeds along, that You give us reminders through glimpses into a journal or glimpses into Your Word, how faithful You are. God, we just want to come before You collectively as a church and realize how often we have messed up what faithfulness looks like. And I just pray for each one here that You would just give them an extra portion of the fruit of faithfulness in their lives, wherever they may need it. They need it towards the church. They need it towards their children. They need it towards their spouse. They need it towards the workplace, towards their neighbors. Lord, You would give them that fruit that they cannot possess on their own, but only as a gift by Your Spirit. And I just pray that You would grant them to the people here at Mount Zion and go forth and bless and advance the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.